Jai Ram. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langhete girim yakipam traham bande Sri Guru Kudichavinam. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjara Shalakaya Chakshumiritam Yena Tasana Shri Gurave Namaha. I'd like to welcome you to the first day of our seminar on prayers of Shukadeva Goswami for empowerment. And we will also discover how to be an instrument for the pleasure of Krishna. And it's very interesting, the purports of Srila Prabhupada will give us the clues how an instrument thinks, what should be the attitude of an instrument, and we'll also discuss other things. Besides, there's many jewels in these verses and purports, which you may not notice unless you scrutinizingly study. So we'll try to unearth some of these jewels and share them with you. And we'll learn how to systematically remember Krishna also, so we can become empowered to act and speak for him. So I'll read verse 11 first before we go to the prayers. Sutta Goswami said, you don't have this. The prayers start with verse 12. Sutta Goswami said, when Shukadeva Goswami was thus requested by the king to describe the creative energy of the Lord, thank you. Who's this from? Krishna. Oh, thank you. Which Krishna?
The one who stands next to Balaram.
We have two here now. Is it Balaram's friend or Radharani's friend?
Balaram's friend.
Okay. We need the strength of Balaram. Good. When he was requested by the king to describe the creative energy of the personality of Godhead, he then systematically remembered the master of the senses, Sri Krishna. Very good. And to reply properly, he spoke thus. So most of us have been devotees for quite some years, and sometimes we're asked to do some service for Krishna. So when we're asked to do the service, what is our first reaction? This is the question. How do we react?
I'm not qualified.
Okay. Or we may say, I'm too busy. Or yes, I'm not qualified. Okay.
I have to chant my rounds.
Right. Somebody recently visited Vrindavan, I was told, some new person, and he was very interested in Krishna consciousness, but when he tried to associate with devotees, the reply was, well, I have to chant my rounds, so I don't have time for you right now. And it's very interesting. I heard this in a class in Toronto by Bhakti Marga Swami, and I hadn't finished my rounds, and that day, person after person was asking me to give me their time. Well, first person, he had all these questions on Srimad Bhagavatam, nobody to ask, so he asked me almost every verse of the 9th and 10th chapter, first canto. And then another person came, and it was like, okay, remember the class. So oftentimes we hear classes, but we don't get a chance to apply them. So this class will try to be an application class, and I'll give you homework. Of course, your homework is not written, but it's to change your view, your worldview, try to apply what you've heard, and I will give you specific questions. You have a lot of choice of which question to choose, but they will be interesting questions. And so the purport gives us clues from Srila Prabhupada how to be an instrument. The first clue, he says, the devotees, while delivering speeches and describing the transcendental attributes of the Lord,
do not think they can do anything independently. So first qualification of an instrument, when you're doing a service, you think, well, I need help. I cannot do it without your help. I cannot do it. We do feel unqualified. We do feel I need your help. I remember when before I started teaching the Bhakti Vaibhav course, I was like really, really worried because I had maybe two sannyasis in my class, and it was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I was sitting in the samadhi and I was praying to Prabhupada, please help me, please help me. And then it was very interesting because I remember the time, it was right after Mangalarti, and I was sitting and praying, and I kind of got a message that, what do you think you're going to do? You're not doing anything, I'm doing everything. You just have to be an instrument. And a very interesting thing that happened is my friend Shimati was at the same time in Jayapur, and she had prayed mentally to the deities in Govindaji, in the mandir, that, I'm praying for Narayani to give her strength to chant, so if, not to chant, but to speak Bhagavatam. So if you want to give her your blessings, then please give a garland. And after that, the pujari gave a garland. At the exact same time, I was praying in Vrindavan, she told me. So Krishna reciprocates if we pray like that, if we pray for mercy, if we pray for empowerment. And after that, I felt a lot better. I just wore that garland every day. I sewed a little thing around, a cloth around. I wore it to class every day while I was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam, the garland of Govindaji from Jayapur. And I do worship Govinda. He is my Adi Purush. He is my Supreme Lord. He is my deity. So first thing, we don't think we can do anything independently. Secondly, whatever we can do is under the direction of the Lord only, because our senses don't belong to us. We think this is my, these are my ears, and I, of course, my experience after about 4 months ago is I lost the hearing in one ear. So, you know, then I realized, well, it's not under my control. It can go at any time. My hearing could go, my speech, anything could go at any time. It's not under our control. So we want to be instruments. We want to please Krishna. So here we've got two ideas, not to be independent, and to always seek. The third thing Prabhupada says, always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak, he says. And by the blessing of the Lord, everything is done by a devotee. And it's beyond the four defects. So, now, when you think of an instrument, how does an instrument feel? How does an instrument think? Does an instrument think and feel, or is it just like mechanical? Because sometimes we have that impression that if we're going to be an instrument, then, you know, stop thinking. We don't have to think anymore. But no, the instrument does think and the instrument does feel. So here we have some ideas from Srila Prabhupada. Seek the permission. I can't do anything independently. So what else? What else would an instrument think or feel? What would be the emotions of an instrument or the thoughts of an instrument? Yes?
When you see somebody who's expert at, say, sword fighting.
Mm-hmm. You see someone doing something expertly. The instrument is one with them, okay? Yes, it's like an extension of your body. So we're an extension. If we're an instrument, we are an extension of what?
Krishna's will,
very good. We're an extension of Krishna's plan, we're an extension of Krishna's will. So therefore we ask permission. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, his prayer was, how will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I'm very unfortunate and unqualified, most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so I can convince them, for I'm powerless to do so on my own. Just imagine Srila Prabhupada, how he was thinking. He's powerless. He says, what can I do? He took one look at us and he said, well, you know, help. Just imagine, you know, coming, elderly person coming from India, like Prabhupada, pure devotee, and he comes and he sees the conditioned souls under passion and ignorance. Somehow or other, Lord, you brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it's up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message, so if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Then he says, when they hear this, I'm sure they'll be happy. Now the last, he says, O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you brought me here to dance, make me dance. Make me dance as you like. And also he did pray. He said, please let them understand. I feel very strongly. It was by Srila Prabhupada's strong desire that we become Krishna conscious, that we actually became Krishna conscious. Because if I look back on my life, I think, you know, I wasn't thinking about becoming Krishna conscious at all. You know, we weren't, and Prabhupada did say, I've tricked you all into becoming Krishna conscious. It was his desire alone that actually made us. And when Srila Prabhupada would often say, Krishna willing, this will happen, Krishna willing, I will go here tomorrow. And remember in 1974, those of us who were here, Prabhupada asked all of the temples to pray for him. He was very sick. Pray to Lord Nrisimhadev. Does anybody remember that prayer that we were supposed to say to Lord Nrisimhadev for the health of Srila Prabhupada?
But if you so desire.
Yes. The prayer was, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. Now, isn't that interesting? He didn't say, all right, Krishna, just cure Prabhupada, if you so desire. So how many times do we pray like that? Krishna, if you so desire, let this happen. Yes?
Sometimes people ask, since the Supreme Lord already has this plan, why should we pray for her to ask?
Yes. If he has this plan, why should we pray? And the reason is, many reasons. One reason is that when we pray, we're entering into a conversation with the Lord. We're entering into a relationship with him. We're talking to him when we pray. We're actually having the faith that he's there to listen. And then, so that's the first part. The second part is he answers the prayer. And then we get faith, and our faith increases. So it's a part of the process. Again, in one of these verses, we'll see it is the process of devotional service to pray, vandanam. So one homework, systematically think of Krishna. One way to do it is to offer everything to Krishna before we do anything or speak anything, or ask permission from the Lord before we do anything or speak anything. And if we actually do this exercise, we'll see what things we should be doing and speaking, because a lot of times some of the things we do in the day are not something we would like to ask permission to do. But if we can offer, like I gave the example of Karanamrita a few years ago, that before he has a bath, before he brushes his teeth, before he does anything, he offers it to Krishna. Like, this is for you, this is your body. I'm taking care of it for you, my Lord. Vishujan Maharaj, before he would do anything, he would try to remember, is this Prabhupada's instruction? Before he went to sleep, he would say, okay, Prabhupada said 6 hours. Okay, I'll sleep 6 hours. I heard he didn't sleep 6 hours. He slept much less. But anyway, he would think. Before he would eat, he would remember Prabhupada's instruction. Keep your stomach half full with food, 1/4 full with water, and 1/4 full with air. I guess if we really followed that, we'd be pretty healthy. And so the whole day he would do like that. So that's one homework question you can do. That is, offer everything before you do it. Because oftentimes we go through our day and we don't think of Krishna. I mean, we do things, and they're all for Krishna. But it's good to be mentally conscious of Krishna at the same time. So there's a really beautiful purport in the Bhagavad Gita I'd like to share with you. And it explains how to do this, how you think. It's chapter 2, verse 64, the purport. A Krishna-conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. Therefore, he's transcendental to all attachment and detachment. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything which is ordinarily undesirable. Did anybody do something here which is ordinarily undesirable, that's something you would never do, but because it was the desire of Krishna, you did it? Yeah.
I would never take a cold shower.
You would never take a cold shower, right, yeah. Now I wouldn't, but before I used to. But now sometimes I have to. It depends which country you're in and if the hot water is working or not and how long it takes to come on. Yeah, right, okay, you would never take a cold shower. Anything else, something you would not ordinarily do? Yeah, this is, yes.
Straight Sankirtan, Harinam.
Harinam, book distribution. Yeah, I mean, dancing. I never danced before I was a devotee, really. And there I was, out in public, 10 hours a day, in the rain, and the snow, and the sun, dancing and chanting. It just was not, I never thought I would do something like that. And also speaking, that's another thing. I never thought I'd be up here speaking like this. I never, you know, it was like something very difficult for me. So yeah, we do things that are, we think this is undesirable, but then we do it for Krishna. And anything also, it says, if Krishna does not want, he shall not do that which he would have ordinarily done for his own satisfaction. So especially in the beginning, there might be a lot of things that go in that category when we were new devotees that we would ordinarily have done, but because no, it's not Krishna's desire, so not to do it. So therefore to act or not to act is within his control because he acts only under the direction of Krishna. Act or not to act. So isn't that interesting? It is under our control if we act under the direction of Krishna. It sounds like it's not under our control. Isn't that? But actually, it's a wonderful thing about spiritual life that the more you go under the direction of Krishna, then the more you have control over your life. And so this is wonderful. This consciousness is the causeless mercy of the Lord, which a devotee can achieve in spite of his being attached to the sensual platform. So there's hope. Even if we're attached, we can have this consciousness by the causeless mercy of the Lord. And I think that was the whole history of ISKCON, that despite all of our crazy attachments, we followed the direction of Srila Prabhupada. And so we got amazing results. Okay, so verse 12, now we will start. You can follow along. We'll sing this together. Some of these verses we'll sing together, but I don't think we'll have time to do all of them, but we'll start with the first one. So I'll sing one line, you can repeat after me.
Shishupavacha.
Shishupavacha.
Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase.
Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase.
Sadut bhavasana nirota lilaya.
Sadut bhavasana nirota lilaya.
Kritta shakti chita yaya dehinam.
Kritta shakti chita yaya dehinam.
Antar bhavayana palakshavartmane.
Antar bhavayana palakshavartmane.
Shukadev Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is complete whole, residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable.
So, now the first thing is that if we're an instrument, then that means somebody is greater than we are. So here we are appreciating the greatness of Krishna. That he created the three modes, and he's without us, he's outside of our body. In the creation, he's the complete whole inside also, and his ways are inconceivable, inside and outside. So Lord Brahma, even though he's the most intelligent creature in this universe, he forgot. When he got bewildered by Krishna. When he saw Krishna, he thought, how can such a small boy be God? Let me test him. And so he stole Krishna's calves and cowherd boys. And afterwards, he was begging forgiveness. He said, my body, it may be the size of the whole universe, But what is it compared to you? All the universes are coming out from the hairs of your body. So when we actually think of who we are in relation to Krishna, it's quite awesome. It's quite amazing how great he is. So before we can take shelter of him, we have to know his inconceivable power. Now here it says bhakti is, he is the Lord, his ways are inconceivable. Of course, that could be a whole lecture in itself, but I'll just quote one sentence from Srila Prabhupada from the first canto. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the pure devotee one advances in spiritual life. So this is inconceivable, that just by serving the book Bhagavat and devotee Bhagavat, we can advance in spiritual life. So when we become an instrument, then we are serving the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. So I think we have time. Let's sing 13 together. Bhuya namasat vijinat chide sitam. Asam bhavaya kila sattamurtaye. Pungsam pura paramahansya ashrame. Yavastitanam manam rikyadashise. I again offer my respectful obeisances unto the form of complete existence and transcendence, who is the liberator of the pious devotees from all distresses and destroyer of the further advances and atheistic temperament of the non-devotee demons. For the transcendentalists who are situated in the topmost spiritual perfection, he grants their specific destinations. So here there's three different types of relationships with the Lord. One is with the devotees, he liberates and frees from distresses. One is with the atheists, and he destroys their atheistic temperament. And for the transcendentalists, he gives their destinations. So now we're an instrument where we're feeling now that the Lord is my protector. He protects the devotee here. He's a liberator from all distresses. And I'm not independent. He's great, and only he can protect me. So we have a relationship with the Lord, and that's the challenge of that's the purpose of our life, to find out what is that exact relationship. By chanting the holy name, by doing devotional service, it will be revealed to us. So when we serve Krishna, we get realized knowledge, that is vijnana, knowledge and realization. And the most confidential knowledge is he reciprocates with us. He reciprocates with our prayer. Now, how does Krishna reciprocate with us? In the purport, Prabhupada says, he delivers his devotee from all distresses. So now we're going to have another homework question, and that is, how does the Lord reciprocate with us? And this is going to be a question in two parts. So this is the first part, how does Krishna reciprocate with us? So I'll ask you, we can have some ideas, how does he reciprocate with us? Any suggestions? Yes, Varuna?
Protects
us? Yeah? Anything in your day? Yes?
When we are seeking to understand either something philosophical or a situation that has happened, and we're praying that answer, that information comes
right
in so many amazing ways.
When the answer comes in so many amazing ways, we're praying. Yes. How does the Lord reciprocate with us? He hears our prayers, yes?
I always find that he's always guiding me.
He's guiding you.
In the heart.
Yes, I know, yes.
He doesn't let you make big blunders.
He doesn't let you make big blunders.
Oh.
Okay, the Lord in the heart. He saves you from making big blunders. Yeah, I noticed that too. Even I might be going the wrong direction, but he'll say, no, that way. No, he'll close the door. He'll just close the door and, you know, what you think is the right direction. Even small little things, you know, like if I have to make even a little, slightest little decision, and I'm thinking, oh, what shall I do? Shall I, even, you know, when I was, before I started traveling, this, now it's 4 months tour, I was thinking, shall I bring this with me or not? And I couldn't decide. And then I went to Mangalarti in front of the deities, and I just heard, Yes, bring that with you. You're going to need it. even very small things, the Lord does guide us. And of course, you have to listen. You have to be able to hear the voice of the Lord in the heart. Any other ways he reciprocates with us. Now, the second part of the question is, how do you reciprocate with him? Now he's reciprocating with you. Then when you feel him reciprocate with you, how do you reciprocate with him, actually?
By listening to him.
What's that?
By listening to him.
Listening, okay. How else? Yes, Agamika?
By just verbally or mentally saying thank you.
Yes, very good. Verbally or mentally saying thank you, Krishna. Someone recently asked me, now Krishna has fulfilled all my desires. What shall I do? I said, well, say thank you, Krishna. Because often we ask for things, but we don't say thank you. And I did this exercise. I did an exercise, I think, 2 years ago, where the homework was to say thank you, and not only for the wonderful things, but the difficult things that come too. And the exercise was, think of 10 reasons why you're saying thank you to Krishna for the difficulties. 10 reasons. I gave the example, Adi Purush, he's the one who taught this class. It was really wonderful. I thank you, Krishna, for breaking my computer, because now I won't forget how to write with a pen. Thank you, Krishna, for breaking my computer, because now I will use my brain more. Thank you, Krishna, for breaking my computer, because now I'll get exercise. I will go outside for some fresh air. And by the time he got to the 10th reason, his computer started working. And I find out this actually works. Myself, too. My internet wasn't working in Sweden. Thank you. I wrote my list up to 8. I only got up to 8, and I fell asleep. Middle of the night, I woke up, and I understood how to fix it. The person was sent to help me. He broke it so that I couldn't connect to anything. And I phoned up my son from Sweden. It was midnight. Mom, it's midnight. I said, technical support, please. And it's online support. And he said, okay, do this, this, this. And I did that. It didn't work. But then in the middle of the night, I understood I did this, 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 and the wrong something I did in the wrong time frame. So then I tried it, and it worked. And I just did this seminar in Bombay, and one lady, a couple of devotees tried it, and it worked for them. One lady, she wanted the car to go to the temple, and her husband said that night, no, I'm taking the car tomorrow. And she just didn't say, she said, usually she sulks and feels bad, but this time she wrote down her 10 reasons. And the next morning, her husband woke up late, and he said, you take the car, I have to take the train today. Anyway, yes, thank you, Krishna. Thank you for reciprocating with me. What can I do for you now? And we can reciprocate with him. So we need to become devotionally responsive, intellectually responsible. So responsive means somebody who responds. So we have a lot of devotional stimuli every day, and we should respond to Krishna. When we see his beautiful deity, how do we respond? Do we feel very happy and glorify him and say, wow, I'm so fortunate to see you today in this beautiful, saw Radharani with all these flowers on her head today. So beautiful. And when we hear his message, his holy name, do we respond? Or does our heart remain frozen and we're kind of mechanical, kind of going through our day? So it's good to try to respond to Krishna when we have some devotional stimuli. So another point on the instrument is that from Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, therefore, get up, prepare to fight, and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They're already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So whatever service you have for Krishna, it's already done by Krishna. But you can be the instrument and get the credit. As Srila Prabhupada would often say, And in the purport, Prabhupada says, there is a plan of the Lord. And we are meant to be a part of that plan. Who knows what Krishna's plan is for this universe? What is the master plan behind the universe? Very simple. Mm-hmm. Pure Krishna consciousness. And if you have pure Krishna consciousness, then what? Back to Godhead. Yes. The purpose of the universe, it's the school of life. And we're meant to learn lessons so that we get purified and go back to Godhead. It's the whole purpose of the creation is to go back to Godhead. And the commentators say that in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the beginning of creation. One word, how the Lord was feeling when he saw his external energy was sleeping. He felt, and he wanted to wake her up. That's the beginning of creation. He wanted to wake up Maya Devi. And who else was sleeping with Maya Devi? All of us. Innumerable conditioned souls are sleeping with her, under her control. So the Lord looked, and he had one feeling when he saw this. What was that one word? One word describes his feeling. For?
Compassion.
Exactly, compassion. He felt compassion. And that's why he made the creation. If you want to know why, purpose of creation, is because the Lord was compassionate. And he wanted to wake us up so that we could enjoy with him in the spiritual world. That's the purpose. For us to wake up. Very simple. So we have to wake up and join him. And the way to do it is to be an instrument, to be a part of Krishna's plan to have everyone go back to Godhead. So if we can... That is, if we understand the purpose of being an instrument, that also helps. The purpose of the creation. So the challenge of our life is to understand, what is my service in Krishna's plan? What am I supposed to do for Krishna in this universal plan? It took me many, many years until I found out that this is my service, writing books and speaking. That's my purpose in this plan. And actually, it was a couple of years ago in Gainesville that I felt that I got confirmation that I'm doing the right thing. I gave a lecture at the Gainesville Krishna House, and they were all young people. And after I gave my lecture, one young student, one girl, she came up to me, and she said, "Thank you for existing." I said, wow, thank you for existing. That's such an amazing compliment. It means that my life has validity. And I understood that some while back, maybe 20 years ago, was it? I can't remember. About 20 years ago, then I had a different attitude. I was thinking, well, the way to change ISKCON is to... try to see what's wrong with it and then tell them what to do and how to fix it. But actually, that's not the way to change ISKCON. The way to change ISKCON is to, you yourself have to be an example of what you want to see. What do you want a devotee to be? You have to show. You have to be the example. So I changed my attitude, and ever since then, I understood, yes, this is how we can actually change ISKCON, by changing ourselves and being an example. So we may not all have the same service, just like I just got an email, an internet friend request from one of my god sisters in Philadelphia. She said, I cannot speak like you speak. I'm the mother of five children. I got married very soon after I joined, and I had five children, and now I have so many grandchildren, and I'm just taking care of them. And I said, yes, that's your service. You have to make so many of your children and grandchildren Krishna conscious. I said, I had enough trouble with just one son, and now I have a granddaughter, so I can appreciate your service. Another time it was Srimati in Mayapur, and she said, oh, I cannot also speak like you. I'm just making dolls. And I said, one doll can speak 1,000 words. If the child has that doll and develops affection for a Krishna doll, Radharani doll, and just imagine... that will stay with that child for the rest of their lives. So everyone, it's not that everyone has to get up here and speak. Yes? Did you want to say something? No. Everyone has their own service for Krishna. And we just have to see what that service is. So the second homework question is, how does Krishna reciprocate with us, and how do we reciprocate with Krishna? So try to reciprocate with Krishna between today and tomorrow night. We only have one day, 2 days, so only one day of homework. So that's the second choice you can have. The first one was to offer everything before you do it. So now verse 14, very beautiful verse. Namo namaste Srishavaya Sattvatam.
Namo namaste Srishavaya Sattvatam.
Vidurakastaya Mahukuyoginam.
Vidurakastaya Mahukuyoginam.
Nirasta Samyakti Shayena Larasa.
Nirasta Samyakti Shayena Larasa.
Sadamani Brahmani Yangsite Nama. If you don't have a paper, it's by Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. You can get the verses there. These are the prayers of Shukadev. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him who is the associate of the members of the outer dynasty, who is always a problem for the non-devotees. He is the supreme enjoyer of both the material and spiritual worlds, yet he enjoys his own abode in the spiritual sky. There is no one equal to him because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable. So, again, there's again three classes. Of course, it's not here, it's more in the purport. Three classes who have a relationship with the Lord. The devotees are attracted to the Lord's personal form, so he becomes their close associate, like the members of the Yadav dynasty. The impersonalists want to merge, so he expands his Brahmajyoti to allow them. In the purport is quoted the verse about the Brahmajyoti. And the mundaners want to exploit his opulences of this world, and so he's far, far away from them. And he's a problem for them. He's a problem for the non-devotees. A big problem. Very far away. And so for one as an instrument, you're protected and you become a close associate eventually, of course. But in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord and his residential abode will always remain a myth or a mysterious problem for the non-devotees. But for the devotees, the Lord will always be available as an associate. So the Lord is our friend, and the more we stay in Krishna consciousness, the closer we feel to Krishna as a friend. So at the end of the purport, it explains what is the mystery. There is the verse from Ishopanishad that you are covered by your Brahman effulgence. Please remove your effulgence so I can see your face of bliss. Now, I'm going to ask you also, because this mystery, there is a mystery about bhakti yoga. There is a mystery, something very mysterious. And I want to ask you, what is that mystery? It's described in the Chatushloki of Bhagavatam also. What is that mystery? I give you a hint. So any ideas? What is the mystery of bhakti yoga? Something very mysterious. Holy name is the means, okay.
And the goal.
And the goal, yes. Anything else?
Bhakti is given to us.
Bhakti is given to us, okay. Yes?
Mystery is by bhakti we are connecting with the Supreme
Lord. Yes, okay. All you're saying is like sambandha videya prayoja, yes?
That she's independent.
Is independent, okay. So, yes?
The same force which is desiring to spread Krishna consciousness is also covering Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's an interesting...
Keeping it a secret.
Yes. The same force, the same energy, the same maya that's spreading is also covering.
They're working together, but they don't appear to be working together.
Right. Well, it's the same energy. And for the non-devotees, it's one. For the devotees, it's another. It's the same energy. Like when Vidura got kicked out of the palace, he saw how the energy was working on Duryodhan and how the same energy was working in a different way on him and making him Krishna conscious. Right. So I'll tell you what Prabhupada says in the Chaturshloki. The mystery is love of God. And then he explains it also. And to attain this, regulative principles of devotional service must be followed. Now, Prabhupada goes on to say, more specifically, what is the mystery? That's in the purport of 2936. It's like a 10-page purport, but I'm just finding the essence here for you. What is the mystery? The mystery is a vision, the vision of the pure devotee. That's the mystery. So what is the vision of the pure devotee? Prabhupada says, without difficulty, if you have love of God, you can see the Supreme Lord in every atom and every movable or immovable object, and at the same time, you can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Goloka, enjoying eternal pastimes with his eternal associates. So that is the mystery, Prabhupada says. You will see Krishna in every atom, and you will see Krishna in Goloka at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? That's the vision. He said, this vision is the mystery of spiritual knowledge. And though he quotes the Chaturshloki. And he said, it is impossible for the mental speculators to discover by dint of intellectual gymnastics. Intellectual gymnastics. Yes. I think I saw some kind of healing place. It says, we will heal your intelligence and your mind. It says intellectual gymnastics, something like that. Oh, what is it? You have the gym for the body, and then they have the gym for the mind. Intellectual gymnastics. I guess now it's more popular even than before. Okay, this mystery can be revealed by the process of devotional service, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. So this is a mystery. And Prabhupada said also, we have a television in our heart. We have a very special television. And the channel will be Goloka channel, Gokula channel, Mathura channel, Dwaraka channel, or Ayodhya channel. And recently we had Lord Ram's appearance day. So some people are tuned in to the Ayodhya channel, and they see what's happening at every second in Lord Ram's Leela. And some are tuned in to Gokula, some to Navadvip channel, and some have more than one channel. And we have the Navadvip and the Gokula channel. As Lord Brahma says, some of us will go to both Navadvip and Vrindavan when we get our eternal spiritual identities. So this is a mystery. In a lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, we have a TV in our heart. Now the TV is broken. You need the repairman. And there is actually three repairmen, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And that will repair your TV in the heart. They will repair it. So we get guidance from Super Soul, but also from these repairmen. One time, my son Govinda said to me, when he was about 14 or 15, I think, years old, he said, Mom, you know, if I could just talk to Super Soul, I would never be bored again. Now, this is a major problem for teenagers, boredom. Somehow they get bored with their lives, with everything. I remember one time when he was a teenager, you know, he would sleep so late. I would try, that's, you know, on his days off, of course, in the summer vacation, like maybe 11, 12. And I say, you know, why don't you just get up? You can do so many things. He says, because I don't have a reason to get up. He's just like, oh. So teenage years are very difficult. Now he has a lot of reasons to get up. Now he has a job, actually. So, first time in 3 years. But it's a very difficult time. Our TV is broken. And I said, yes, you can talk to Super Soul by chanting Hare Krishna. You connect. You connect to this. You connect to Krishna. The Super Soul is a reservoir of all intelligence. So if you chant, then you connect with so much intelligence, a whole ocean of intelligence. And you never get bored. You never have a dull moment. So let's go into verse 15 is how we can systematically remember Krishna. What is the solution to the problem? Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yat ikshanam.
Yad vandanam yad shavanam yad arpanam.
Yad vandanam yad shavanam yad arpanam.
Lokasya sadhya vittunati kalmasham.
Lokasya sadhya vittunati kalmasham.
Tasmai subhadra shavase namo namaha.
Tasmai subhadra shavase namo namaha.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, about whom glorification, that's kirtanam, remembrance is what? Smaranam, audience. Darshan, that's interesting. Which one is that? Well, Prabhupada will explain that. What audience means. Ikshanam, seeing. Seeing, audience, darshan means ikshanam, to see. Iksha is eyes, so ikshanam is audience. Prayers is mandanam, hearing, shravanam, and worship is arhanam. Okay, can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. So first mention here is kirtan. If you perform kirtan, then you will be able to think of Krishna, smaranam. So Prabhupada said, even if you send ikshanam means you see the deities. He said, you just sit in front of the deity and go on seeing. He said, boss, do nothing, just see. How nicely dressed is Krishna? How nicely dressed is Radharani? He said, that's enough. Just appreciate the beauty of the deities. And smaranam, actually, is this remembrance, is Prabhupada said, is on the sixth level of the yoga, Ashtanga yoga system, dharanam. It's the sixth level. We start, our third level is their sixth level, sixth and seventh level, dhyana, dharana. We're meditating on the Lord. We're remembering the Lord. Yad ikshanam. Now, for ikshanam, Prabhupada gave a very interesting idea. Ikshanam. We can see the deities, but he says, if they see the book, if you're a book distributor, if they just see the book, then he'll see the picture, Radha and Krishna. Ikshanam. And if they open the book, they'll see more. So he said, Yadikshanam is for those who see our books, for the book distributors who go out. But Prabhupada said, if your mind is so disturbed, you're given this chance. If you can't chant, can't hear, just go and see the deities. He said, that's enough. Just see him. If you cannot meditate, you just go and sit in front of the deities and look at them. You just see them. That's enough. And he said, and if you're more intelligent, then vandanam, you can offer prayers. If you have a little bit more intelligence, instead of just seeing, you'll pray. You'll pray to the Lord. And others, then shravanam, people will hear, and arhanam. If you're expert, then you'll become a pujari and also do deity worship. And this will clean everything away. Now, verse 16 is a very, very interesting verse, and Prabhupada has, in the purport, compared verses 15 and 16 to verses 65 and 66 in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Now, in verse 15, it's telling us, if remember, you hear, you chant. It's like man mana, bhava bhakto, think of me, become my devotee. Verse 16 talks about surrender, and if you surrender, the results are given here, and it's kind of an upgrade from Bhagavad Gita 18:66. So see if you can find it in the verse. We'll sing it, and then see if you can find it in the translation. Vichakshanaya charana pasadanat.
Vichakshanaya charana pasadanat.
Sangam vidasya payatam taratmana.
Sangam vidasya payatam taratmana.
Vindanti brahma gatim kataklamas. Tasmai Subhadra Shavase Namo Namaha.
Tasmai Subhadra Shavase Namo Namaha.
So listen carefully and see if you can find The similarity to chapter 18, verse 66, give up all varieties of religion, surrender to me, and I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. So here it is. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna. The highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. So, did anybody catch it? What is the difference between this verse and what is the upgrade?
Highly
progress. Anything else?
Here talks about the highly intellectual.
Highly intellectual. Okay. He praises if you surrender. Anything else? One more thing I'm still looking for. He becomes relieved of all attachment to present and future existence. Now in Gita, it's the past. I will relieve you all of all your sinful reactions. Now in this verse, you're going to become free from present and future also. Isn't that interesting? That's like an upgrade. You're going to also be free of your present attachment and your future attachments. So that's really far out. And not only that, in the purport, Prabhupada gives a wonderful translation of 1864 to 66. So I'll read that for you. You can hear this. This is from the purport of this verse. My dear Arjuna, you are very dear to me, and therefore, only for your good, I will disclose the most secret part of my instructions. It is simply this. Become a pure devotee of mine, and give yourself unto me only. Give yourself. And I promise you full spiritual existence, by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me. Just give up all of the ways of religiosity and exclusively surrender to me and believe that I will protect you from your sinful acts and I shall deliver you. Do not worry anymore. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful translation. So he expands the translation to include this verse. So we can see here how Gita is a seed and it blossoms in Srimad Bhagavatam. It unfolds in Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, right away, actually, the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita ends, give up all varieties of religion, surrender to me, and Bhagavatam begins, dharma prochita kaitavacha, that this Bhagavatam rejects all cheating religion, beginning with dharma. This dharma. So, very interesting how the connection between Gita and Bhagavatam. If you scrutinizingly study Bhagavatam, you will see the connection between Gita. Gita is just like a little seed put in the heart, and then you water it a lot, and then it sprouts in Bhagavatam, and it expands, and you can see so many things. So here is something which has expanded in Bhagavatam, Krishna's promise in Bhagavad Gita, and it's expanded by Shukadev Goswami. He has revealed it. And Prabhupada in the purport has further revealed it in his beautiful translation of 1864 to 66, and he includes this, that you will, I'll just read some parts of it again, it's so amazing. Give yourself to me. I mean, there he says surrender, here he says give yourself to me. Just give yourself. And I promise you full spiritual existence, by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service unto me. So that sounds like you're going to have your relationship as a gopi or a cowherd boy or a parent in the spiritual world. Eternal right, that is our eternal right, to be in the spiritual world with Krishna and serve him in a special relationship. And again, I will repeat something that I said in previous years, that Srila Prabhupada in a lecture said that we wake up in the morning, we think, I have so many problems that today I have to solve. He said, we only have one problem. And that problem is, let's see if anybody remembers from the previous years. Of course, it was a year or two ago. You might not remember. Yes? Okay. Yes, anything else? The problem is how to accept Krishna. Krishna is coming, but we're not accepting. That is our problem. That is the problem of our life. So when we wake up, we should think, how can I accept Krishna today? And again, a beautiful, another lecture, Prabhupada was saying, when we chant the holy name, we're calling to Krishna, please accept me. Please accept me. That's Shikshastika 5. Please pick me up, place me as an atom of dust, your lotus feet. And then there's a part two to that, another lecture, where Prabhupada says, when we chant, very nicely, Krishna comes, and Krishna says to us, please accept me. Please accept me. Isn't that wonderful? He's begging us. He's right now, he's calling us. Give up everything and just accept me. He's calling us in Bhagavad Gita. That's his call. We talked last year in the prayers of Prahlad. Prabhupada said, Krishna is calling us in Bhagavad Gita. Please accept me. Here Prabhupada says, give yourself to me. So here in Bhagavatam again, Shukadeva is reiterating this surrender to Krishna. If we surrender, we'll be freed from all present and future problems too. Not only the past, not only our past karma, our present problems and our future problems will also be removed. So then the last verse that we'll discuss for today is verse 17. Tapasvino dana parayashasvino. Tapasvino dana parayashasvino. Manasvino mantra vida sumangala.
Manasvino mantra vida sumangala.
Shimam navindanti vinayadarpanam.
Shimam
navindanti vinayadarpanam. Tasmai subhadra shavase namo namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna again and again, because the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosophers and mystics, the great chanters of the Vedic hymns, and the great followers of Vedic principles cannot achieve any fruitful result without dedication of such great qualities to the service of the Lord. So we have the tapasvis. Without Krishna, they don't get a result. And we have the dhanapara, the givers of charity, the workers of distinction, yashasvino, famous people, useless without Krishna consciousness. Tapasvino, manasvino, the great thinkers, mantravida, the chanters of Vedic hymns. Yet arpana, without giving to Krishna, it is useless. So whatever talent you have to give it to Krishna. Now my god sister Manu Kanya from Vrindavan, she had a very unique way of preaching to one person in New York, a very, very heavy lady who owned a jewelry shop in New York City. And she would buy the jewelry from the lady and give it to Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. So one time she went to see this lady and she showed the pictures of Krishna Balaram to this really, really heavy New York lady. And the lady said, oh, they're so cute. She said, here, this is your jewelry on the Krishna Balaram. She says, they're so cute. And then, cute boys. And so Manu Kanya said, yeah, you know, they came 5,000 years ago and people still remember them. And so she said, well, why do they still remember them? Her answer was, because these two boys came and they killed all the mafia. That's why people remember, and the lady got it. She said, oh, wow, that's amazing. These little boys, they killed all the mafia. And so that's preaching. And so this lady got inspired and she donated some of the jewelry, you know. Oh, let these boys have it, you know. And so we engage everybody. Everybody can do something for Krishna. They can give jewelry, or, you know, even the most hardcore person can do something, give something to Krishna. So we have our gifts. We can use them in Krishna, use them for Krishna. Now, one more thing I'd like to share with you today, and that will be another item of your homework, that this is from His Holiness Satchinandan Swami. It's so beautiful that I wanted to share it with you, and it might help you to do your homework for tomorrow. Now, here's the question that was asked to Satchinandan Swami. How can I bridge the gap between the deep faith I feel for Krishna, it goes on as the years go by, but still the frequent inaccessibility to it on a moment-to-moment basis. So we have this faith, but we can't always feel it and realize it. So what to do? There's a gap between what we believe in and our actual experience, somehow, sometimes. So how to close that gap? And His Holiness Satchinandan Swami gives us three ways. And if you choose, you can also try one of these things to do for your homework. And it was so beautiful, even though it goes more with the seminar on faith, but I thought it can go with any seminar. So I'll share this with you. And the first thing he said, first hint or tip, is to improve your practice. Improve your practice. So see what you're chanting or whatever. And there's a story to go with it. There was a saint who lived by the side of a mountain in a little straw hut. Very old, he couldn't travel, and sometimes people would visit him. So one time, there was a hermit who lived on top of the mountain. He came down, he had a question. And he said, you know, I know what is the purpose of life. I have faith in the scriptures, I have faith in the practice, yet I often find myself unable to live according to my knowledge. And I'm often overcome with clouds of dullness and a painful emptiness in my heart. So does that sound familiar sometimes, that we get kind of dull? So what should I do? So the old saint remained silent for a long time, and he said, please come back tomorrow. I'm also interested in the answer. I will stay up tonight and pray. And so next day, the hermit came back. And the holy man had the answer. There is a big ocean with currents and waves. It is almost insurmountable. On the other shore, there is a crystal white beach. A little further, you'll find a city with golden roofs, a marketplace where you can get everything for free, and temples where the Lord personally talks to his devotees. Then he became silent. And then he said, brother, let us stop talking for now about that place. You first need to find a boat, a boatman, some oars, and a compass. Then he became silent. So he understood, instead of meditating on, you know, the highest thing, that he should be like that, we have to think how to concentrate on the process, how to get there, the boat. And consult an experienced boatman and use the oars. So Maharaj gave a song for us to understand what is the boat, and who is the boatman, and what are the oars. It's in Harinam Kani Om Guru Kandare Sankirtana Koryala Dobahupashre. The holy name of Hari is the boat. Shri Guru is the captain. And the singers of kirtan moving with upraised arms are the oars. So when you're in the kirtan, you're rowing the boat. You're rowing the boat of your practice. So you might ask, what is the compass? So Maharaj gives his humble opinion. Srimad Bhagavatam is the compass to give us direction, where to go. So the first item that Maharaj gives us, if we want to make our faith real, live our faith, is to improve our practice. First thing. Second thing is to pray for bhakti with taste. Often we do things mechanically. He says the acharyas talk about bhakti with taste, with nectar, and bhakti without nectar. So pray for bhakti with taste, like a doubting man for a boat. So this will take you beyond where you are already. And the third thing is quite an interesting advice from Maharaj. Something that I've done in my life quite a bit. Start now, take the risk. So you have to figure out what the risk is for you. What is the next step in your spiritual life that you're afraid to take? Many times I took the risk, and the most recent time was for me to leave Vrindavan and go out preaching. Of course, that was many years ago, 2009. That's five years ago, it's the fifth year. 5 years ago, I took the risk. Without money. Well, I had my first Bhagavad Gita, I had somebody print it. I took that money and bought my plane ticket and started preaching. And yes, it's really worth it. It's wonderful if you take a risk for Krishna. If you take a risk, start now and take a risk. So that means that, sometimes you struggle with the question, should I stay, should I go, should I surrender more, should I go back, be a little more comfortable? But there's one secret if you do take the risk, and that is you're never alone. Krishna is with you. I gave this example probably last year that in my traveling, I travel alone most of the time, although now in Europe I'm going to have somebody with me most of the time, but pretty much I travel alone, so sometimes it's very risky. One time I landed in the airport in Gatwick in London, and it's very far from where I was going to stay near the temple. Nobody was there to pick me up, and I knew already I was prepared. So I had to somehow get on the trains for 2.5 hours. I borrowed a phone from somebody, random person, and made a phone call to the person who was supposed to pick me up at the train station on the other end. And then I had to keep asking, what train, then I have to change trains, what to do. And finally I got off the second train at 10:30 at night, and it was dark. I had this heavy luggage. It was like, 10:30, now what? Because there's these huge steps, huge flights of steps, and no way I was going to make those steps with my luggage. And the person on the other side, I didn't have a phone, and plus they couldn't carry anything, plus I couldn't carry anything. So he had to go up the steps and down the steps. So there I was, and within a few minutes, two young boys came. One was black, one was white. They reminded me of somebody. and they came up to me, and they said, "Can we help you with your luggage?" I said, "Sure." "Sure you can." So these two little young boys, they're like teenagers or maybe in their early 20s, I think, maybe 18, 17. They took my luggage, and then the person on the other side, I went to her house, she had Krishna Balaram deities too. So I was reminded of Krishna and that situation, that, okay, don't worry, Krishna's taking care. I didn't even pray, I just got off the train helpless. And I didn't pray, "Oh, Krishna, help me, what am I going to do?" Before I could get an anxiety, which I usually do anyway, he came. He sent somebody. So I would remember him, And so this is like taking a risk, that you do take risks in your spiritual life. Many times I took a risk to go to Vrindavan in 1993. I left Goa. And I came to Vrindavan, so that was another risk. So many times. Just traveling is a risk. But anyway, so think what that means in your life. It doesn't mean that you have to leave everything and go and preach. It may be something very subtle, a change of attitude, a change in a way of looking at things. It may be something like that. Okay, so now our homework. We have this. You can choose to do one of these three things: improve your practice, pray for bhakti with taste, start now and take the risk, or you may try to systematically think of Krishna, offer everything before you do it, or you may see how does Krishna reciprocate with you and how do you reciprocate with him. So you can choose one of those three things, and tomorrow we will find out if you have anything to say, to share with us. So we'll stop here. If you have any questions or comments, please ask at this point. Yes, I forgot your name. Gadagraj Prabhu.
Can you say it again? Can you say the boat is who?
The boat is Harinam.
Yes.
The boatman is Guru.
Or is
the hands upraised in kirtan. The compass is Bhagavatam. All the Shastra, of course. Maharaj voted for Bhagavatam. So it can be Gita, it can be your book of your choice. Krishna book. All the books are wonderful. Any other? Yeah, another question with Shesha Prabhu.
Yeah.
You have to speak louder.
You're talking about reciprocating with Krishna. What he does to you and how you respond and how he responds. What's to keep us from becoming sort of maybe overly sentimental?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question. Yeah. So when you do reciprocate with Krishna, what's to keep us from becoming sahajya? Like, oh, Krishna's talking to me, I'm talking to him. And yeah, that's a very good concern. So the best thing to do is keep it to yourself, except don't tell anyone. Keep it between you and Krishna, number one. Rule number one, don't put it on Facebook. They ask you, what's on your mind? Well, don't. Now they want to, I mean, and if you know what's on everybody's mind, it would be really terrible, you know. And so that's the problem with Facebook, is you get what's on everybody's mind. And and so we don't want to add to the misery. I try to discriminate what's on my mind. I try to mostly put, you know, Bhagavatam, or I share something nice. Yeah, so that's rule number one. Rule number two, there's a nice way to serve devotees is to do something, and don't tell them you did it. Don't tell them about it. So it's like that. You keep it confidential. If you keep it confidential, then there's less danger. Now, if you do find yourself going into sahajiism, then I'm sure you'll find at least 10 devotees who tell you, Prabhu, what happened to you? Usually it takes 3 or 4. If I hear 3 people tell me the same thing in 1 week, then I know I got to change. You know, so you do have to, we do have our guru, sadhu, and shastra. We have our sadhus here, and they will certainly inform us if we're going the wrong direction. Even if we're not going the wrong direction. So keep in the association of devotees, rule number two, and listen to them. Yeah, in Vrindavan we have so much of that, sahajiya. Yeah, it's because Prabhupada said we're in the lap of Krishna. Of course, it's becoming harder and harder to realize that now with all the traffic, but you do have to pray for protection when you cross the street in front of the temple. Yes?
It seems like in the past that we had more of a problem with not opening up our hearts and being willing to feel.
Yeah, we did have a... there's two directions that we can... that are... if we can go one direction where we're too hard and are too heavy and we don't experience spiritual emotions, but then there's both sides. One side we can fall into sajis and one other into impersonalism. So we have to walk the razor's edge. That's bhakti. Razor's edge. You don't go too far to the left or too far to the right. But still, there should be healthy emotions and there should be healthy detachment as well. We did talk about this with Queen Kunti's prayers. There should be healthy detachment, healthy attachment also. So as a devotee, you need to be able to discriminate what is healthy attachment and what is healthy detachment.
So how would you, what are,
is this on? Oh, there you go. So then what is something where we are self-reflective? Mm-hmm. You're saying not to share, for one thing, not to make it public. Yeah, when you feel,
What would be
an example of something
that we should think
that we should not
dear.
Share with others?
You know, so in other words, as long as we're not sharing,
you can share with your intimate friends everything, but not with the world. You know, your 2,000 Facebook friends.
But no, with Facebook aside, are there any other red flags to consider?
Okay, any other red flags? Shesha Prabhu, because you asked that question, what would be some red flags to consider? Okay, the microphone. Yeah, because I lost my hearing now. And it's a challenge to hear everything.
Well, we're hearing and serving Srila Prabhupada
right.
40 plus years. I mean, you know when you're not.
I'm asking you.
We know when we're straying from what Prabhupada wanted or what we like. At least we have some healthy apprehension that we can go to the second step you're given of talking, sharing with devotees. You know?
Yes, yes.
And then revealing our mind, and you know, somebody slaps us upside the head. You know, what are you doing? You know, you're getting too far out there. Then we know. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Like when, if you start saying, "Well, you know." Today, Krishna told me to do this, and Krishna told me to do that, and then you're getting too far out. Yeah, Kuti?
I think when you see that other people are uncomfortable being around
you. Okay, hey, that's really good. When you see, you know, people start looking at you like, people are uncomfortable being around you. That's really good. Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. If you make people uncomfortable with what you say, so that means, you know, there is a confidential sharing with very confidential friends. That can go on. But if you don't have that confidential relationship with someone, then it's not good. And also, even if you do it too much, if you're they're going to say, well, you know, what happened to her? What happened? Too much, very good. That's wonderful. People are comfortable around, devotees. Devotees feel uncomfortable around you. Yes.
I think we can remember Srila Prabhupada that he rarely talked about his personal inner spiritual life.
That's right.
And that if we find ourselves going on and on and on about our own internal realizations, really that's not the focus. The focus should be on preaching and that type of intimate discourse. I mean, Srila Prabhupada just didn't do that. That was very private.
Yeah, we can take the example of Srila Prabhupada. It was always very private, and it's a gem you have to protect. It's a treasure, and whenever he did lose it, he would apologize. Sometimes he would lose it. He would just, you know, get into ecstasy and, oh, I'm sorry. Doesn't happen too much. Please. Yes. Very good. Thank you.
I think there's a little difference also because Prabhupada was our spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps when he was dealing with Sridhar Maharaj, his godbrother, was a little different. Actually, there was a Mula Prakriti's book about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dealing among godbrothers.
Right, right.
So we may have the need to reveal our minds to a godbrother.
Yeah, we can reveal our minds, especially if we're not sure, uncertain. And then we should reveal our minds. But the thing is not to make yourself the center, like, oh, my relationship with Krishna and me, and that's what we're doing. Is if you start making yourself the center, then devotees will get uncomfortable with you. Yeah, it's true. It's true that, yes, and that's why I said you can share with a confidential friend, but not... You know, tell the world, oh, today when I was chanting, I found out my relationship with Krishna. I'm this, you know. And that was happening in Vrindavan.
It's also the statement of Prabhupada used to quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that you don't try to see Krishna.
Yes.
You try to act in such a way that Krishna will see you.
Yeah, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. It's so amazing. It's if you try to come to Mangalarti and have that. It's a whole different outlook on life. Krishna is seeing me. Krishna is looking at me. That's darshan. Darshan means that Krishna is, not that we see Krishna, Krishna is seeing us. Quite a different outlook that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells us about. It's quite different. Actually, the only thing I can compare it to is one time I was doing Mangalarti in Calcutta. And the deities, they're on the same level as the rest of the temple. And there was only a little chain between the temple and the deities. So I was doing Mangalarti, and I was offering the ghee lamp, and I turned around, and there was Prabhupada right behind me. And I was so bewildered. I thought, am I supposed to give it to him or do puja, or, you know, what am I supposed to do? So I think I did a really quick puja, and and gave it to him. Then the whole Mangalarti, he was 6 inches behind me, watching me. And that was the most alert, conscious Mangalarti I ever did. And afterwards, I thought, well, I should do all my service like that, that Prabhupada is watching me. Yeah, that's another thing we can do tomorrow. Prabhupada is watching me, or Krishna is watching what I do, what I think, So let me see if I can offer my thoughts to Krishna today, at this point in my life. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you for that comment. Any other comments or questions? Yes?
You were mentioning something so sweet about how Krishna is saying, please accept me.
Please accept me. And that what we need to do each day is to see how to accept Krishna.
Yeah.
So from your experience traveling and speaking to devotees and sharing Krishna consciousness, what do you feel is some of the obstacles?
Obstacles to accepting Krishna.
Mm-hmm. What are the things that happen internally where we don't accept?
What are the obstacles to accepting Krishna? Well, first of all, being the opposite of an instrument, thinking, okay, what do I have to do? What must I do today? What must I accomplish? So we must always keep our relationship with the spiritual master, Okay, what does Prabhupada want me to do today? How does Prabhupada want me to live this day? So it's a shift in attitude. It's a shift in mentality that you're not the center, but Krishna's the center. And Prabhupada's the center.
What? You know how that we talk so much about how sometimes we have the sense of I'm not worthy, I'm so fallen, so many things. Sometimes that seems to
yeah,
be...
Yeah, that can be... That's also self-centered, because you're the center. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm I. Low self-esteem, as they say, low self-esteem. So we don't want to become... we don't want to have low self-esteem. In fact, there was an example of a devotee I heard about who said, I'm so fallen, I cannot do any devotional service. They just sat in the temple and didn't do anything because there was too fallen. So that can lead to depression if you feel like that. So we always have to remember our connection with Krishna. Without Krishna, I'm not anything. So if I connect with Krishna, then I can do anything. And that's what Prabhupada we were nothing, and we connected with him, and we could do anything for him. We did miracles. I'm sure you must have experienced that. You did many things beyond your qualification in your life. And you can still do it. Yeah. So that's the point. By becoming an instrument, then we become empowered. So I think we should stop here. It's getting late. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll bless you. Okay. Hare Krishna. Michael. Yeah, keep it, bring it tomorrow.
Is it extra
one? Okay.